and make it like intrinsically feminine by saying, oh, it's Mother Nature, and that that is above kind of humankind or sometimes even below humankind, but that either way there is something that is innate about it. And we kind of already spoke on this, and we will speak about it more, but society has asserted that we are separate or above nature, or at least men are, because historically men have been more engaged in politics, medicine, progress, especially in the Western world, while women have been restricted to child rearing and birthing and any kind of other domestic labor.
Yep. And another point also to mention, wanted to get into more about, I'm having a brain freeze right now, about Mother Nature. So from this, this personification of nature, so you said this focuses on, you know, this very life-giving, nurturing, and protecting aspects of nature by terming Mother Nature. And this is a very comforting analogy, I feel like. Like we are being protected or taken care of by a motherly figure on the earth, which has some issues to it.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting, this comparison as well of like mothers and nature, because it kind of feels like in our society that, you know, mothers take a lot of BS. Like, no matter how much you may exploit her or abuse her, she will provide you with unconditional love, and that is kind of expected from her as well, which is similar to nature. And yeah, mothers under the patriarchy, under capitalism, are taken for granted. Their labor is not acknowledged as real labor with economic power. And yeah, often are taken advantage of because of that.
Mm-hmm. So that can go, we'll discuss in a second, but with a lot with climate change and how we're currently tackling and have been tackling the climate crisis and everything. So we'll get into that in a moment, but some more things about Mother Nature itself. Like, you know, this has been a concept that has been around for centuries and centuries. And nature has traditionally been associated with femininity in, you know, literature, various cultures, so very cross-culturally, and in mythologies. So the earliest record of Mother Nature being referenced was 13th or 12th century BC in Mycenaea Greek scripts, where they termed Mother Gaia.
Yeah, and she gave birth to the sky, mountains, and sea.
Yeah, pretty epic. Pretty epic.
Yeah, I mean, it is like, there are different sides to personifying nature as a mother, but I do kind of admire
the more powerful aspects is nice, of this all-seeing force kind of thing. But this is not even just in, you know, the Western world or Greek. Femininity of nature is also in other cultures like Southeast Asia. So, for example, Cambodia, Laos, Thailand, they believe in this entity called Frame Thorai. So it's the personification of Earth from a Buddhist mythology perspective. So Mother Nature, the role kind of differs, but it's still the symbol of fertility, peace, and happiness, which are associated more with femininity. As well, there's lots of indigenous peoples from North America, South America, that all believe in this, you know, Earth Mother and having more feminine personification.
Yeah, and when I was traveling in South America, I heard this term Pachamama a lot, which is actually in Quechua, and it means mother of the world, but it's also representing of space, time, which are more abstract, as well as matter, which I think is really cool. That's common in Peru, Bolivia, Ecuador, Argentina, Chile, many other countries as well.
So this can be seen almost at a global scale, that everyone has kind of agreed there's some sort of figure who's of the earth or of nature who's female. And it carries on today. Like in pop culture, we have so many references in films, TV ads, TV shows, song references, comic strips. I was looking up some, and there's a lot of, you know, references to Mother Nature in fantasy shows for like Once Upon a Time or Guardians of the Childhood. And randomly, a lot of Christmas movies for some reason. I don't know why, but there are at least three Christmas movies that all reference Mother Nature. But as you can see, it continues on, and we all know the term Mother Nature, most of us. And that is just kind of the brief overview, but I wanted to get more into the issue with viewing the Earth as a woman in terms of the climate crisis, because I think this is an important point that we often overlook and is, I think, one of the major issue of why we aren't taking action as we should be. Because if we view Mother Earth and as a woman, you know, the Earth and women alike have historically been viewed to be conquered and controlled.
Mm-hmm. And especially in this patriarchal capitalist lens where both women and nature are seen as property. And we can see that marriage laws are basically enforcing this idea of owning women, which, you know, is still falling a little bit out of trend now, but we can see that there are still the same traditions of taking the last name of your husband, you know, walking down the aisle in white. These are just a few examples that we still hold on to in our culture. And I think there's a lot of other examples too, but it does kind of just allude to the fact that, you know, you own this woman once you are married to
her.
Yeah,
definitely. And this is even with just a Western perspective. Like, there's still so many other cultures out there who still see women like this, and treat women, you know, as property and, you know, as just housewives and having a stable life only through marriage kind of thing.
Yeah, and just as you can own women, you can also own land, which is like, technically you shouldn't ever be able to own another human being. And we also saw that with slavery. But you should also, like, there's no, it's just kind of an abstract idea that you're owning the land, because who can really own like blades of grass? Like, it's not yours, but because you paid a certain price to somebody for it, that means you have control over it.
And with this owning land goes ties directly back into the earth itself. Like, we are trying to own parts of this Mother Nature, and we are over extracting resources. You know, we're polluting all the air and water, killing off species to extinction, you know, overconsumption of just everything, food, clothing. I don't even want to get into AI and all the issues with that too, and what it's causing to the environment just to make a profit for a certain amount of people is insane, and how much exploitation. So this is comes extremely highly correlated with just the owning of things like women have historically and in a lot of cultures still are.
Yeah, and it's such an imbalance of who is actually affected by the climate crisis as well. But I think there are a few notes that we have about how, I guess, like, the patriarchy does kind of contribute, at least historically, to this notion of tying women to nature. And because if women are tied to nature, then what are men tied to? You know, like, it kind of posits women as this othering force, while men are tied to culture and progress and politics, and that's seen as their role. But how can you keep progressing when we have finite resources? And I think that does kind of tie back to the climate crisis too.
Yeah, definitely. And with that point, with like, with men kind of trying to take over resources and thing, and what role that leaves a woman, it made me think of, you know, how men typically have explored the world and claim lands. And so being this, you know, having this outdoorsmanship is very prized, especially in this masculine sphere of having these wilderness skills. And it's interesting, like, why have men been prized for their conquering skills of, you know, making a campfire and, you know, cutting down a tree kind of thing, and women are told, you know, oh, don't hike without a man, or, you know, don't go backpacking solo kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think
like,
and
it's like, but like, Mother Nature is a woman kind of thing, and why are we being scared of a woman?
Yeah, and I think it is important to mention that it's not just gender in a vacuum that is creating these types of exploitative actions towards nature and towards women, but let's just talk specifically about nature right now, is like there's also incentive for men, and they also have the ability, the like economic power and I guess autonomy, to conquer different lands because of, you know, it's usually for profit. Like it is acting under the system of capitalism. And yeah, I just think that's important to mention that it's not just their gender that is, you know, the reason that they're doing these things, because I don't know, if we look at women being put in positions of power today, it doesn't mean they're gonna do a good thing just because they're women. Like mm-hmm. they don't like inevitably do something great for the environment because they're women, but it is true that men have historically held these roles of conquering and exploiting because I think they had that kind of autonomy. And it gets into gender essentialism a little of talking about like the need for domination, but we'll just leave it at that for now, I think.
Yeah. Moving past like this outdoorsmanship wilderness claim thing, and going back into the current world, back into this climate change, that I thought it was interesting that studies have shown women are often more concerned than men about climate change, and that women are often leading environmental protests, which I actually didn't know of this. I thought it was more equal in some sense, or even more skewed towards men because they have a louder voice, have been socialized to be appreciated to be louder, kind of thing.
Yeah, that is, I didn't know that either. And I guess it, like the most famous environmental activist of our generation is Greta Thunberg, and she is a woman. I just wanted to mention as well, like indigenous communities are also leading a lot of like really important movements because they are at the forefront of land stewardship and protection of the environment. Yeah, but it is interesting to think that women are often the ones who are leading these protests too.
Yeah, I read about the indigenous communities as well, and there's some in like the global south I was reading of how specifically like indigenous women, they have more of a caregiving role in their communities. So when the men are off, you know, hunting, or they're off to work or somewhere else, the women are in the communities and they have the more firsthand experience of how climate change is affecting their communities. And they are the ones who have to first advocate because they're the ones first affected.
Yeah, they definitely, people in the global south are way more at risk for the effects of the climate crisis, along with poor people, indigenous communities, people of color. Like, it is such an inequity in these effects. I did want to just go back to, I know this conversation is kind of like all over the place right now, but I think that women are also associated with nature because they have this certain duty to birth and child rear. Like, that is, you know, kind of something that is typically the woman's role, which kind of biologically puts us at a disadvantage. And because of this dynamic that we have, I'm kind of taking from Simone de Beauvoir's book, The Second Sex, and I think she has some good points, but because we're associated with child rearing and birthing, men can kind of project this essentialist view of women and keep them in this realm of the spiritual or the natural because we're so in touch with our own, you know, biology and with nature in a way. And this type of labor that we do is seen as natural and it's unpaid, taken for granted, which is kind of similar to nature. It's also seen as an infinite source of care.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal. Infinite source of care.
Yeah.
Just like mothers. Yeah. Kind of backing that up as well. I'm going to go back to the environmental politics wise, and with that of you know, so we know that Mother Nature traditionally more associated or is associated with women, and that we don't treat the earth that well. And, you know, how are we going to fix that kind of thing? Like, how are we going to tackle this climate crisis? And one person, Sherilyn McGregor, in her article From Care to Citizenship, calling ecofeminism back to politics, she argues that we need to have more women in power, because right now a lot of policies in government are all run by men. You know, they are the ones to make these decisions about what should happen to the environment, what should we regulate, kind of thing. And if we put women in charge of these kind of things, in charge and more in charge in environmental policy, or at least try and call for more women to be involved, this can, you know, have a big impact on how we tackle this crisis. Because, as we've been saying, a lot of exploitation of nature, of this climate, from which is what's happening with climate crisis, is connected with the oppression of women, which are both connected to this system of patriarchy, which argues that we right now prioritize profit and control over sustainability and compassion, which is what we need and is the key to solving the climate crisis.
See, I don't know if I fully agree with this argument. Like, I do see that, you know, some examples of women in leadership roles can be beneficial, like even just, you know, like modern day presidents or prime ministers that are women, like, you know, the prime minister of New Zealand or the president of Mexico, like, or maybe prime minister of Mexico. You know, they are making great advances for their countries in, like, a lot of different ways, but especially, I think, in, you know, like, the social care domains, at least in Mexico that I know of. But it doesn't necessarily, like, guarantee that the best interest will be put forward. Like, like, the environment's best interest will be prioritized, or even most people's best interest, because, again, like, we are still operating in this system where there are like, external forces on women and men to produce money and, like, to, you know, make the most that they can for their countries, for themselves, and also hoard that. So I'm like, yes, it is, you know, probably important to have, like, not like a domination of a certain gender in political power, but it's still like these systems that I think are like contributing to nature being so exploited.
Yeah, I see that view as well, because, you know, at the end of the day, women or men are both still human, and we're both still susceptible to things like capitalism and wanting money and wanting power. It's not just a gender thing. But I also still agree with Sherilyn in the fact that I feel like, thinking back of these like firsthand experiences of women in communities, at least that the woman in power for these policies, I don't think it would make a crazy major change kind of thing, but it could start pushing into the right direction in terms of their lived experiences of, you know, like, I don't know, just women who are in power who know what it's like to be part of a family and these other factors that men typically don't have to think about in history. So that it could work. I don't think there's been a system anywhere that has like all women doing the environmental policy, so we can't really know, but good point to make.
Yeah, honestly, it is kind of confusing sometimes to talk about these kinds of subjects, because like we on the show are normally against kind of essentializing women or men to like one specific characteristic, but then again, we do see how maybe it's through socialization, like probably it is, but women will act, and it's like, I don't want to generalize either, because it's not like every woman's experience is the exact same, or like all women are caring and compassionate, but like it does seem to be a pattern where women are kind of responsible for upkeeping, you know, like relational roles and like taking care of other people.
Yeah, we have this next section, I think that we'll have to get to next week, where we kind of dive into, you know, why is being caring considered feminine? Like, you know, Mother Nature is caring and nurturing and all these things, but are women just naturally more caring? And so that goes into this issue. It's like, sure, are women biologically or socially more caring to be in these positions, and can they make the changes based off their, you know, their hormones or their neurological mechanisms, or is it just something that we've been taught as a kid?
Yeah, and I think like talking about ecofeminism is important, but I think adding on to it is like this idea of like an eco-socialist feminism, of which I've kind of been alluding to, of where like regardless of whether it's men or women in control under capitalism, nature will still continue to suffer for the most part. Like, I don't think, you know, putting 50-50 will just take all of these harmful practices and put them to a halt. You know what I mean? Like, we kind of need a whole reboot. And yeah, like, women's connection to nature is, for the most part, like, socially constructed. And I do agree with that. And it's reinforced for these material reasons of, you know, like, raising children who will become part of the workforce. And I've kind of mentioned this before, but I just want to reiterate that capitalism treats nature and women's labor as these free gifts almost that don't have value because, you know, they're not part of the formal economy, but they are super essential to generate profit. Yeah. And I think that's just like a good example of, it's not just men like that are responsible. I don't even want to say that it's men who are responsible for the exploitation of nature. It has historically been mostly men who are exploiting nature and women, but I think it is kind of like the system that is also, I guess, spurring people to do this. So yeah, do we have any, concluding
We are running out of time, so we're gonna have to skip a whole section.
I'm so sorry. It's okay.
We will get into this more next week. I think we'll just make this a two-part kind of thing, but we'll end it off with this, with the ecofeminism look about Mother Nature and how we're dealing with things. But I think it should be taken with a grain of salt, of how all the traits associated with femininity are not necessarily biological. More evidence coming next week for you. But it really shapes how we look at things like climate change and, you know, how we treat women as well in general.
Yeah, and I just want to add before, you know, the end of our show, or like at least the end of our talking piece, that we are all a part of nature. So it's just like a false equivalency to associate women, like, or give nature a gender where like it's kind of otherizing, mm-hmm. when in fact like every single person is nature. Like, it's not like, so it just kind of bothers me, I guess.
Yeah, it's very black and white thinking. It's like, nature is just nature. It is not no gender. Mm-hmm. Even gender is just like social construct. Like, why do we have to put a social construct on something so powerful and much more than we will ever be?
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, it almost makes sense that it's a Mother Nature.
Hold up. There goes my whole argument.
Yeah. Like, we are just projecting.
I mean, so it's kind of nice. I'm like, dang.
Yeah. If we could reach a balance where, you know, mothers are respected and given credit for their labor as well as nature is, like, I don't know.
Yeah, because what if nature was a man?
Can't fathom it.
Slumber party over.
Yeah. An alternative reality. An envisioned future of nature as man. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, partner nature.
Something to think about. What, for you, listener out there, like, what, how would you feel if nature was a man? I mean, nature is like no gender at all,
yeah,
in my opinion. Nature is nature. We're nature.
Yeah.
It's diverse.
I think nature is much more than It's not human. It's not human. I don't like these like binary categories, and that the fact, I just think that we are all, should not be trying to separate each other and fight each other. Like, this is a woman, this Mother Nature. No, we all need to team together and fix the planet. It's not like a woman man issue.
Yeah. We gotta reunite.
But
okay.
That was my concluding comment.
I think that's more than enough for today's show. Thank you for listening. Next up is Ryan's open mic, and after that is Bitcoover with Connor, CJSF's music director. So yeah, we'll be back next week probably with some research about, you know, stereotypes about femininity.
Yes.
And yeah, until then, we'll see you next week. Keep tuning into CJSF.
And the very last song you'll be listening to is called
Cursive.
Oh, Cursive Time Edit by
Mandy Indiana.
My context just gave up on me. Thank you. Okay. Enjoy.
Enjoy.